This is Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is an interview with Gabe Bailey and Logan Thompson. They're both new to CBA, joining us just this year in our music department and our PE department. And so they're going to talk about their transition into the CBA community, as well as some of the things that they've been able to implement, some of the things they're looking forward to, some of the things they were excited about from the first quarter. So we hope that you now enjoy this interview with Gabe Bailey and Logan Thompson. We'd like to welcome to the podcast today Logan Thompson and Gabe Bailey. They're two new teachers here. Logan is in PE and Gabe is in our music department. So I want to give them first a chance to introduce themselves to you and talk about what they do here at CBA and what they teach and that sort of thing, and kind of their journey to get from wherever they were to CBA. So Logan, we'll start with you.
Sure, yeah. Logan Thompson, this is my fifth year teaching PE, coaching basketball. Born and raised in Memphis. Started coaching, teaching about 5 years ago. We kind of got a job offer, me and another guy at a school. Wanted to get involved with students, investing in students. Started coaching there, just fell in love with it. Started teaching PE, fell in love with that. Got married, and my wife decided she was not a big fan of living in Memphis anymore. So we decided to compromise and move to Knoxville. Awesome. So love the Knoxville area. Got here in March and coaching basketball, teaching PE. I just love, you know, getting involved with students, building relationships with students, and getting to know them. That's really what I'm passionate about in all this.
And so here at CBA, you teach what grade levels?
Pre-K through 8th grade. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah. That's a wide variety of students, and you know that gym is rocking all day long.
Yes, it is rarely quiet, and it's mass chaos, but it's a good mass chaos. So
that's awesome.
We have a lot of fun, and
I hear a lot of great things coming out of PE class, and so I know you do an amazing job with the kids, and it's a unique skill set to be able to go from pre-K all the way up through 8th grade, because there's a lot of differences in that.
Yeah, it's been a big adjustment, because you know some things, you know, with 8th graders we can do a lot more than we can with 4 and 5 year olds, but right. At the same time, that's kind of part of the fun of it too.
Yeah.
We get to learn how to throw, learn how to catch, just work on our motor skills and stuff with those younger kids.
Yeah.
And then it's cool to see them progress as we move on and get older. We can do more, we've learned more, and they can grasp more.
Yeah.
So it's super cool to see how the growth from, you know, 3, 4, and 5 year olds all the way to middle schoolers.
Yeah. We early on we had a fun time doing the first basketball clinic ever here. And the person that was helping myself, we just kind of were like, we'll do it, you know, to get something going.
Yeah.
And we walked in that first day, and it was like asking, how many of you have ever played basketball before? You know, we had a decent group sign up. There was like two kids that have ever played basketball before, and they were there for this basketball clinic. It's like middle school age kids.
Uh-huh.
And that was a trip.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're talking about teaching somebody how to throw or teach, and it was like we expected them in middle school to already
yes.
have some of those skills, and they did not, and it was wild.
Yes, it is. But that's another cool thing about it, right? You get to see, like, people's backgrounds, and that's why we're trying to have a variety in our PE classes, because, you know, this kid loves basketball, but maybe this kid loves lacrosse, or
yep.
this kid loves football, and this kid loves volleyball. And so, you know, we try to have that variety, but it's cool to see different backgrounds, and you know, we have different skill levels, and whether it's within the same class or within different grades, you know, again, those younger kids are kind of like herding cats for the most part, but no, it's super cool to see just different backgrounds of students and how, you know, how they love different sports or different activities that we do, and
Absolutely.
It just shows you how different everybody is, but it's a lot of fun.
It is. And Gabe, what about you?
Yeah, so like you said, my name is Gabriel Bailey, and I am the choral director and music teacher here at Clayton Bradley, and I teach grades 3rd through 12th. So my background is I'm a Maryville native. I've lived here my whole life. I was born in Blount Memorial Hospital. So, and it's funny because Coach Thompson always gives me a hard time since I'm a Georgia fan. But my whole family
Terrible,
was born
man.
In Rossville, Georgia. So I was literally the first one that was born here in Tennessee. So we always joke around about that. But no, I was born here and raised here. I ended up going to Maryville College. I graduated there in 2023, so last year. And this is my first full year of teaching, so I'm super excited to be here. It's been a wonderful time already, and I'm also helping out coaching the middle school boys basketball team with Coach Thompson. So yeah. I think that we've really hit it off, and we're good buddies now here. So we've really enjoyed it, and we're excited to be able to do that.
And a little rivalry is always good.
Hey, I'd love it. Love it. It's a good time.
He says he's a Tennessee fan too, though. So
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works. I'm trying to process that. I mean, I'm the PE teacher, so I'm not exactly the sharpest tool in the shed, but that'd make a whole lot of sense to me.
Oh gosh. Well, we both of you guys have joined our staff and have heard great things out of both classes. And I have a kid in Gabe's class in the middle school chorus group, so I hear things from that side of things as well. And she is a little bit nervous about PE, I'll be honest with you, because she has only ever had one PE teacher, you know, her whole time here at
CBA. Sure.
And so, you know, this transition that we've made this year, and she's like all nervous because you're different.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's going to be okay. Things that I'm hearing, it's going to be fine, you know. But
yes.
You can't help those nerves that and the unknown.
Completely understandable.
So let's talk a little bit as we reflect on. So we're recording this at the beginning of the second quarter. So you guys have had your intro into CBA life. We know that what we ask of teachers is a lot. And depending on kind of what your knowledge was, what your background was before you got here, and some of the things we ask you to do through the model, through that lens of brain-based education and some of that. Some teachers accept that and run with it really well, and then other teachers kind of struggle a little bit with that idea because it's a little different maybe than what you were taught in just a education program. Mm-hmm. And so when you guys came in, we have the new Teacher Academy that you were involved in, and then kind of got acclimated to CBA that first quarter. What was that like for you in the related arts department? We've talked some already with some of our core classroom or regular ed instructors. And so being the related arts side of that, what was that experience like for you, either one of you?
I'll go ahead and start. You know, I think that the really cool thing about this school and this academy is that, you know, everything is brain research based. It's all, it gives you the autonomy to try to learn and develop as you go through your curriculum and your courses with your students, because some things might not work for some kids as it does for others. So it's really cool to be able to see how that actually plays out in the classroom, especially in music. I mean, with music, there's so many different techniques on how you could teach it or how kids are able to learn it, or anything like that. So we've implemented a lot of new stuff, especially with our choirs. We're doing a really cool thing with Sight Reading Factory with the high school, where they submit some assignments based on being able to display their rhythmic and melodic reading and stuff like that for their homework assignments. And then I use it a little bit with the middle school so they can get a taste of it before they get into their high school with the homework stuff. So with the choirs, it's a little bit different than the general music classes too. So it's just really cool to be able to have that autonomy to be able to help the kids learn in the music department the best that they can, and you all giving us the benefit to be able to take charge and be able to do that with those kids. It's been really, really cool to see that play out in the classroom.
Yeah, and I know with you, Gabe, the one of the things that all of our teachers have is a year-long theme or concept, and you kind of embrace that really quickly. Some new teachers kind of take a little bit to figure out that. Not only did you embrace it, you changed it from what was before, which a lot of new teachers kind of just embrace that idea that was already there, and you kind of build on it and figure out that first year who you were. And I walked in your room shortly after you had been here, and you already had a new concept up and a new idea of how you wanted to approach the year. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the concept before the board before was based on adventure in music, and I decided to go in a different route just because it's a new year, it's a new teacher, it's a new feel for everything, right? Especially for all of these students that I see every day. I mean, I have almost over 230 kids that I see throughout the school with third through 12th, right? So I ended up changing it to Unity. So the reason that I did that was because I wanted the kids to feel a sense of, it's a new year, it's a new teacher. I know that things can be a little nerve-wracking, a little intimidating, because I am implementing new curriculum and different ideas and different concepts for them to try to grasp and learn for themselves. So I wanted them to know that we're all in this together no matter what we do. And as long as we're on a united front moving forward and we have the same ideas and the same thought process and the same goal that we want to reach at the end of the year, I think that we're going to be doing a really good job, especially for the choirs and all the general music classes that I have. It's really important for us to all be united as a group going forward with music. So,
yeah. And, you know, just the other day, we had our fall concert, and I think that came out. The choirs, both middle school and high school choirs that performed that night, their volume and control was really phenomenal. And
thank you.
Two of the best performances I think that we have heard from our middle school and high school. And you could actually hear the guys. Not always possible. You know, we usually have small number of guys up there. And I was like, wait, I think I'm hearing the guys sing right now. And so that was great to hear. And it sounded good. You know, it wasn't like you heard the guys in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it sounded really phenomenal. And so you've done a really good job, I think, bringing them together and really expressing that idea of unity. And the kids seem to have bought into that.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think with our choirs especially, I mean, it's just trying to breathe a sense of confidence into them and give them the boost and encouragement that they can do it. I mean, if they put their minds to whatever they want to do, at the end of the day, they can do it.
Yeah.
So I think that they put in all the work with the high school and the middle school choirs, and they blew me away. It was a great night. I really enjoyed it.
I'm looking forward even more now to the Christmas performance there in December. So, Logan, what about you? What has this transition from, you know, that you've had some teaching before.
Sure.
And so a little bit different than Gabe, of you're not coming straight out of college here. But what was that transition like for you to go through that acclimation period and that first quarter?
Yeah, so, you know, it was a lot different. The previous stop I had worked at was maybe a little more traditional, not so much focused on the brain-based research and things like that. I have really enjoyed learning more about that and kind of getting accustomed to that, the way we do things here, because I'm also a big relationship guy, which focuses on the individual student.
Yeah.
And so, you know, taking this brain-based model approach also shows that how students learn differently and how their brain works and things like that. So I think that ties really into building relationships with those kids and learning about those kids, and kind of piggybacking off what Gabe said, you know, the autonomy we have here to kind of do things and adventure out, and how we can adjust our styles or techniques to what fits our class in that specific setting is a really cool thing to experience and kind of get to focus on.
Yeah. So what was your focus in the first quarter?
Getting kids accustomed to me, because I understood stepping in that everybody had pretty much had one PE teacher their whole life, and so there was going to be a transition period, and I wanted to make that as smooth as possible, you know, with just how we do things. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So I wanted to keep something similar,
absolutely,
to help with that transition, while also, you know, bringing a newness and a freshness to it with just how we do things and change it up for them so we don't get bored and things like that. But, you know, Gabe had that great, you know, his unity wall and all that stuff. So with that, we try to keep things the same in a little bit. We're transitioning out of it. You know, last year was teamwork makes the dream work in PE.
Yeah.
We still have that mindset a little bit, but I'm kind of slowly transitioning to, you know, sports is life sped up a lot faster.
Mm.
And, you know, you're going to deal with adversity in life just like you do in sports. Things are not always going to go your way, or things should be going great. But in sports, we experience all those highs and all those lows, and we can really relate that to life. You know, things are not always going to go great in life. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to have, you know, blockages, things like that. But how do you respond to those? How do we deal with them? And then how do we move forward from them?
That's great.
That's kind of what we're trying to transition to.
That is really great to hear. And, you know, it's one of those of, we talk about life skills, lifelong guidelines, and that's a question that comes up is when you get in those kind of environments, those really competitive environments. Mm-hmm. Of, do you just set aside the life skills and lifelong guidelines because you got to get ruthless out here?
Sure.
Or are you able to transition those onto a competitive environment? Say, no, these skills you can still use.
Sure.
You're just, you know, you got to use them in the right way at the right time. Like you said, it's kind of sped up. You got to be able to handle it a little bit quicker.
Correct.
In the moment, because there's a timer on the wall that, you know, you only got so many minutes before the game's over. And when it's over, it's over.
Yes, for sure.
So how do you incorporate life skills, lifelong guidelines into what you're teaching in team sports and competition in the gym? The gym can be one of those places
Sure.
where, you know, kids can get maybe a little bit aggressive or a little bit upset about somebody or take something personal in an environment that they're already kind of nervous maybe. So what how do you use that?
Well, you know, one thing that I'm going to tell any team I coach or even, you know, even in classes, we've talked about it in class before, the two things you can really only control are your attitude and your effort. And that's what we control, which effort is obviously a big one. But attitude as well, whether I'm showing friendship or if I'm being truthful or trustworthy, you know, things like that. And so, you know, everything we do, I'm about as competitive as they come. I'm going to be competitive. I want to win. Winning's great, right? No, nobody likes to lose. But it takes one thing for your, you know, you can do one thing wrong, and then anything you've done to build up trust, you know, trust between somebody or to build up your character can be gone just like that.
Absolutely.
So, you know, all we can control is our attitude and effort and how we respond to situations. And, you know, it takes a lot of time to build up that character and build up that trust and things like that, but it doesn't take very much time to get rid of all of it.
That's true.
That's just really what we want to focus on, is just controlling our attitude and effort, you know, things like showing friendship, being truthful and trustworthy. Those are really the four of the things that we really harp on in PE, because they're pretty easy to relate to anything we're doing in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just want to make sure that we're making the right decisions when we're doing stuff.
Well, and I think if you look at the history of who goes down as an amazing, you know, player or an amazing coach, just like you said, you can do a lot to build that reputation and then have that one experience where, you know, everybody all of a sudden finds out you're not being trustworthy, you're not showing integrity. Ruins that reputation overnight. We've seen that, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, Tennessee and Georgia. You see that in the SEC. We've had some amazing coaches come through organizations, and then all of a sudden everybody starts finding out that they're not actually leading appropriately. You know, they're trying to go around the rules, or they're just obviously breaking those rules. And all of a sudden it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. You know, that gets set aside because now nobody can trust you, or now you've got all these other penalties that you have to pay. And so those are life decisions, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it doesn't matter if you're the best athlete on the field, if your life is not a life of integrity, that'll catch up to you a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing we really want to focus on with our guys and girls, is just like, you know what, we want you to be competitive, we want you to have fun out here, but there are more important things, and your integrity and your character are things that go with you for the rest of your life. And so we need to work on building that you know, building that for the future.
Absolutely.
And what kind of person you want to be.
Yeah. And Gabe, that similar question to you when it comes to life skills and lifelong guidelines of, you know, even recently in the news, there's a lot that has come out about some people that have been pretty amazing have had some pretty amazing musical careers. And then you see these character flaws, character issues that come out that, once again, destroys a reputation that sometimes people have built. And so as you're working with that on the music side, what are you working with them when it comes to life skills, lifelong guidelines, and kind of that character development?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that we've harped on is definitely personal best. I mean, that is all I can ask for in every individual in that classroom, and it's going to look a lot different when it comes to my third grade student compared to my senior in my class in singers, right? And I always harp on, I just expect you to give your personal best, and it's going to come in all different shapes and sizes, but with integrity, with your trustworthiness and your truthfulness, and just trying to make sure that you're doing it the right way and not doing it in those ways that you're kind of cutting corners, or you know, you're taking different angles that you shouldn't be, right? And you know, like you said, a lot of people in the music industry right now, there's a lot, and I experienced one when I was in high school. I had a director at All East that was the director of Mississippi State University Choirs that did our clinic, and he ended up 4 years later, and I thought he was one of the greatest people ever, but he got arrested and he was sent to prison for money laundering.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, there's just certain things that happen in life, and there's certain things that are put in front of you as obstacles that you can take two different paths, right? And the biggest thing that we're trying to demonstrate here at this school is that we want to always try to take the right in the correct way and put your personal best, do trustworthiness, do truthfulness, and make sure that you're doing it the right way and never take the wrong path. We never want to see students taking any path that's ever going to get them in trouble. So that's what I think every teacher here at this school is trying to demonstrate with our life skills and our lifelong guidelines, is that we want kids to do it the best way that they can, especially with their personal best.
Absolutely. You know, if you're doing it the right way and you're using your personal best, there's going to be a level of success there.
Absolutely, there will.
You know, now, will you ever be to the level that maybe in your head you want to be? I don't know. You know, that's a personal thing that you have to work out. That's both in sports and in music. But it's a matter of you getting comfortable with what your personal best is, and then putting in the time and dedication to making that whatever it can be. Because there are people in both of these fields that are born with some talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, let's not act like that, you know, some people are just born with some stuff. But it's what you do with what you're born with, right? So you can be born with an amount of being able to hear music and really get it, and that's going to get you so far. But then if you don't hone that and make it better, you possibly didn't go as far as you could have gone. And same on the athletic field.
You know, one of my mottos that I say, and I even say it to my wife, and sometimes she's like, yeah, it gets old, just stop saying it, is, you know, never take no for an answer unless it's absolute. Always go for it every single chance you get. There's so few opportunities out there that you'll come across, and the ones that you don't take, you're never going to get 100% of the time.
That's right.
Right. And we want to make sure that if there's the opportunity for those kids, then let's go get it. Let's try to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that is the biggest thing for me, is like, let's take some opportunities. Let's take some risks. Let's try to do some things out of the ordinary. I mean, we're discussing in my singers class right now the opportunity. There is a choir festival at ETSU in February.
Okay.
That we would get to go and do a workshop clinic with four different directors at ETSU.
Oh, wow.
And then that night we would sing in a mass choir festival, and then sing one song at the very end with like 20 other choirs. And then a really famous men's vocal ensemble called Chanticleer that is home bases in San Francisco. They're incredible. They're going to put on a free concert for us. So, I mean, we get to do all that in a day, and they're discussing whether or not they want to do it. And I'm trying to motivate them, you know, let's take that opportunity. You know, that's an opportunity that most people don't get. And I think that's the biggest thing, is like, don't be afraid to take that mystery step. You know, it could work out, it could not, and that's okay. And we can live with that and recover. Right. But taking some risk and taking some calculated risk, I'd say, is always a good thing, I think.
So that starts to get into the next question I had of, what are some things you're looking forward to? So obviously you've got that. Are there other things that you're looking forward to experiencing? I know for you as a new teacher, it's kind of like experiencing for the first time, just that you're excited for your students to also be able to experience and be involved in.
I'm so excited. I mean, we have so much stuff packed full for the music department in general. I mean, but specifically for choral stuff, I mean, we have 12 singers that ended up making All East this year. Yeah. And this is my first year, and that's so awesome. I'm thrilled. I'm so excited. And they'll be at All East at the end of November. And then we'll have our holiday concert, and then I think that we have, I'd say three or four that'll probably make All State, and they'll get to go in April, which is really, wow, really, really cool, yeah, to see, and actually be that person on the other side, because that's what I did when I was in high school, and it's so awesome just to see that I get to be the teacher now that actually gets to send the kids to All East and All State. It makes me giddy inside. I love it so much. I love it. But yeah, we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm just proud of the kids for taking the steps, like I said, and doing that calculated risk. You know, some of these kids that auditioned, they've never made it before, and they made it all the way through. And it just took one audition. It took them one try, and they made it. And I was super proud of them. I was super proud of them. So we've got a lot packed full for the music department, and I'm thrilled.
That's great. What about you, Logan?
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, athletics is getting into full swing. So from the athletic standpoint, basketball season starting, you know, getting to coach some of those guys, getting to see the girls' team, the high school teams, the upper school teams play. Super excited about that. You know, this one's a little bit more chill for me. You know, first quarter is, I think the second week of school I started water day planning.
Yeah.
So this one's a little more laid back for me. I am excited. We're in the middle of our Star Wars unit right now for lower school, so we're doing a lot of Star Wars stuff, using the Force, things like that. So that's been a lot of fun this week, and we're doing that next week. So that's been a lot of fun. But like I said, this one's a little more laid back for me this second quarter. But I'm excited about the concert coming up, the Christmas concert coming up.
Yeah.
So I told Mr. Bailey that I would come to that one. So absolutely. I'm excited about that one.
He will be there.
Yeah,
the 5K, the color run.
Yeah,
seeing how many people beat you. We'll see. Trying to get that money for athletics.
That's right.
So
yeah,
and for the Torchbearer funds. So it's gonna be a good quarter. I'm excited about a lot of different things.
I've told people that to beat me, all you have to do is run faster than an 11-minute mile. That's about where I run. So if you plan on beating me, if you just pace faster than 11-minute miles, you'll be good.
There you go.
That's about what I run, and I don't push myself to be much more than that. I also want to be able to still move afterwards.
Hey, you know your limits, right?
Like, that's
you
right.
Know, hey, first pushing yourself, but you know when, hey, I still got to go to work on Monday.
That's right.
So
hopefully I will avoid injury, and hopefully nobody tries to take me out so that more people finish in front of me. But I have had some threats. I've heard some. So I said, no, I don't need anybody like Tanya Harding, you know, taking a shot to the knee. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I really enjoy our sports environments that people have worked really hard to set up. Just fun atmospheres for our families. You know, we love it when our teams win. We love it when our kids make it to All East. And that's great for them. We support them in those endeavors. But we love more kids going out and doing personal best and showing that effort and learning about themselves.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, you know, you can only control what you can control on the court or on the field or in the choir or whatever. And you have to realize when that thing's over, you have to walk off with your head held high that you did everything you could to make that thing as good as it could have been. And if that means you win or if that means you've made it to the next level or whatever, great. If you haven't, you can still walk off with that confidence of, like, I did everything I could do that day, and we just got bested by somebody else. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Losing is part of life. Not making it through is also part of life. And we look at that in a lot of realms. We talk about that failure should be part of not just you as a teacher, but it should be part of the students, because through failure is where you learn a little bit about yourself to say, this is how I need to work now to be better, or this is what I need to do different next time. And so we want to give kids that opportunity. That's part of them being that whole individual as they walk across the stage and however many years it takes them to get across that stage, because that's going to give them confidence as they go to do their next thing in life, whatever that may be. And so I'm excited to see. I am a huge basketball fan, so I do like basketball season. I love all of the sports that our kids are involved in as well. But I really enjoy the basketball season. I do a lot of scoreboard work. I told Nick I already volunteered to do some of the scoreboard work. I told him the scoreboard, a lot of people get nervous about running the scoreboard. The most important thing about the scoreboard is just making sure the clock is running when it's supposed to be and not when it's not supposed to be.
Yeah. Yep.
The score can be fixed.
Absolutely.
You know, the absolutely. Person doing the book can tell you, hey, you missed 2 points here, or you've added points to the wrong side, and you can fix it.
Yes.
But the minutes on the clock, you can't really do a whole lot with those, especially in our setting. Now, you know, as you get into college and professional, there's videos that mm-hmm. you can go back to and reset the clock. You know, at middle school and high school level, once the clock's messed up, it's kind of messed up. So you just have to kind of hope for the best.
Well, what you're saying is it really takes more skill to run a high school clock than it does to, you know, an NBA clock is really what you're saying.
Right.
So,
right, because there's no video to say, oh, we can go back and see that ball went out of bounds at 3 minutes and 22 seconds. You just have to, you know, try your best. So I try to be quick on the clock to turn on and turn off. I still miss it sometimes. If you have watched a game, there's still fans that have said, hey, the clock's not running. And I'm like, oh, I didn't flip it.
They'll let you know.
But they do let you know.
They'll
very
let you
quickly.
Know quickly.
And angrily sometimes.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, I didn't do it on purpose, guys. I'm sorry. But no, it's a lot of fun. And I just like the environments that have been set up. And we've got some people that have really put in a lot of work. Nick Starkey is athletic director this year. Done a lot of great stuff to make our athletic program what it is. And then we've got some great parent support. Miss Curry does with our mm-hmm. concession stands and helping run those game day stuff. People don't realize the amount of work that people like her put into making that game something special for our kids. And then the time and energy that our coaches put in, that really we don't pay them enough. You know, and you guys are also coming on board as coaches this year. We would love to pay coaches more than what we pay them. But what I see out of all of our coaches is that desire to build relationship and to help kids grow. And that matters more to them than saying, well, I'm not doing it if I don't get X amount of dollars. Usually the money is kind of the second conversation. The first conversation is them wanting to grow really great kids. Mm-hmm. And through that lens of the sport or through that lens of whatever it is they're involved in. And so it's a really exciting atmosphere to be involved in. And I think our kids really shine in it and do a great job. And excited to see that. We've got a lower school kid that's running state in cross country. And hopefully we'll find out about some high school kids and middle school kids, whether they can get anybody to that level this year. We have in the past with our high school boys cross country team, so hopefully we'll get some more success in that this year. That'll be exciting to see. And so I thank both of you for sitting down and talking for a minute about some of the great things that are going on in our related arts department and the stuff that you guys are doing with the choirs. Like I said, I'm already looking forward to the December presentation and the holiday concert as well. And so that's always a great time. And I don't know, you know, for the fall concert, you ended it with the alma mater. Are you teaching Logan the alma mater so that he can?
He better be up there next time. Yeah, he's going to be up there. So one other thing I wanted to say, and I meant to mention it through the excitement stuff, is Bobcat Chorus starts this quarter.
Yeah.
So last year there were 22. This year we have 38.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
That signed up. So that a huge a uptick. And I think I can speak to basketball as well. I mean, we have a lot more kids on the basketball team. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also really cool to see, is like, all of these new kids coming out, and they're like, I'm excited about this. Let's get it going. Let's get these kids in this stuff. Let them try. Let them at least enjoy it and see if they like it. You know, give them that opportunity. I mean, Coach Thompson had some open gyms on Wednesday, so just let any kids come in and play basketball if they enjoy it and see if they like it. You know, Coach Thompson's thing was, I think one of the seventh grade boys was, I'm going to keep asking you, come try it one time. If you try it one time and you don't like it, I want to ask you again. Yep. I just want to see you come and see if you like it.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool, seeing the uptick in all the kids that want to participate in these things. And we've really enjoyed it. I mean, these kids are awesome. We love it so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were talking about basketball. I was looking at the numbers just this morning. We've got over 50, it's almost 60 cheerleaders signed up this year from elementary, middle, and high school. It's like a whole army of girls out there with you know, glitter and bows. And they do a fantastic job of cheering and supporting the players on the court and getting the crowd to participate. And so it's a lot of stuff to take care of. And so that's why I said we've got some amazing people that really step in and do great jobs with our kids and teach how to do this activity, but also how to live the way you're supposed to live. Mm-hmm. And so that's exciting. So thank you both.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been the Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, or you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.